Welcome to the Fanboy Factor Podcast. I am your friendly neighborhood J-Man. With me is our resident comic book historian, Brian Isaacs. Brian, how's it going, man?
I'm doing good. Slowly coming out of my Thanksgiving food coma. How about yourself?
About the same, man. I just finished up another Thanksgiving dinner. This is Sunday.
Wow.
I think this is my third one. I'm about turkeyed out.
I got the free turkey at the grocery store and ended up making it.
Yeah.
Myself, my wife, and my kid, and as I'm carving it, a lot more is going into my mouth than it's onto the carving plate, and I'm like, God, why do I feel so stuffed?
So much turkey.
Oh, God. Now I got to figure out. Now I'm looking through, like, Butterball and stuff. Like, okay.
What are you going to do with the rest?
Leftover, yeah.
Would you have, like, a 25-pound turkey for the previous?
It was actually an 18-pound turkey.
God.
And I keep telling me, my wife's like, maybe we should just go for the turkey breast. I'm like, nah, we'll figure out something to do with it. And I'm like, what am I thinking?
Turkey soup.
Yeah. Turkey frittatas. Turkey. Yeah, turkey goes with everything. It's the next thing.
So one of the ways we spent I think everybody spent their Thanksgiving was with the new Star Wars trailer.
Right.
And they did the nice thing. It was ready for us Friday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Black Friday morning. Well, for those of us who are still in bed, not Black Friday shopping.
No.
What'd you think?
I mean, first off, it was a nice surprise because everybody knew it was coming out Friday, but I don't think we realized it was. Was it announced it was coming out online?
No, it was just certain. From what I heard right before it came out, it was in a handful of theaters.
In a handful, yeah.
It wasn't like this big rollout or anything. And what was funny before that is these leaks, supposed leaks,
yeah,
the trailer, were hitting days before, and Lucasfilms, I guess, was trying to get on top of it, saying every time they found somebody with this link or mm-hmm. this leak, they would tweet something, it's a fake.
Right.
Some of them, there's a couple of them, but one of them was really pretty good. And then some of them were just plain stupid, you know, just being dumb. But so the official trailer was released.
Yes.
Sometime Friday morning.
Yes, thank you very much to Disney, Lucasfilms, and J.J. Abrams for that nice Thanksgiving treat.
Yeah, it was, it's a good trailer, and
yeah,
he really uses that negative space really well, that whole nothing happens to add to that drama.
Yeah.
If we're going to get film school on us here.
Oh, you really want to get film school? Okay, I'm hyped. I'm excited. I'm not going to say, like, you know, I'm not a Star Wars nut. I love, yeah, you know, I do feel like I was burned by the first three.
Yeah, the prequels.
Yeah, and so, you know, I'm optimistically wary, I guess is the best word to say.
Yeah. Which I think a lot of people are.
Yeah, but I liked what I saw. You know, I the film student in me is just, you know, when it starts off with the black stormtrooper popping up, looking around the desert, it kind of reminded me of a Terry Gilliam film for some reason.
And
that craziness that Gilliam has it's just. But other than that, I mean, I kind of liked it.
And how he popped up, it was startling,
mm-hmm.
which you don't really kind of see. The theme, it was actually almost like a little movie in itself.
Right. Yeah.
Well, the trailers aren't typically that way.
No.
And yes, go ahead.
No, what was also good is it didn't give away a lot.
No, really nothing.
Yeah, it was just, all you can tell, this is attached to Star Wars.
It smelled, if you could smell, and it felt like Star Wars. But you had really very, not, it was truly a teaser.
Right.
You got a sense of that Star Wars is back. That's really is what I took from it. That's our Star Wars is back.
Yeah, I fully agree. And, you know, I liked what I saw. I do, you know, it makes me wanting more. You know, unlike, you know, I hate to compare, but unlike the Avengers Age of Ultron teaser trailer, I felt like, you know, most of the plot's kind of laid out there.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, it's definitely two different trailers.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
So, you know, I'm kind of looking forward to it. You know, it's, like I said, it started off looks like a Terry Gilliam film, and then it just cuts to that robot rolling along.
Yeah.
And then it just got a little bit more tense from there. And I'm excited, you know.
The voiceover was interesting, too. Interesting choice. Sounded, I don't know, ominous.
Yeah.
But then as you get to the end, the whole scene with the Falcon is awesome.
Yeah, I felt like
the use of the black space of the nothingness, and then there's the Falcon.
I felt like a kid again. I really did. It was just like, you know, just like seeing that Millennium Falcon for the first freaking time on the big screen. It was just like, oh my God. And it's pretty amazing. And I just can't wait to, you know, when you see those X-Wings hovering above the water,
yep,
full combat speed, it was just like, holy.
You know what else does it for me are the TIE Fighters and that TIE Fighter noise.
Yeah.
Love that. I mean, that's so awesome.
You heard who did the voiceover, right?
I wanted to check before, but no, who was it?
It's been confirmed it was Andy Sidarkis. Sidarka?
Is it really?
Yeah.
Does he have a part in the movie?
I don't know.
Or is he just the voiceover?
You know, honestly, I don't know.
Huh. Interesting. Very interesting.
Be interesting to see. But, you know, it didn't seem like we saw any of the main characters.
No. Well, we saw the two main characters. The black guy, that's Boyega.
Okay.
And the girl is Daisy Ridley. I believe those are the two main characters, or are going to be the main characters of this next trilogy.
Okay, so we didn't see any familiar faces.
We did not. We definitely did not see that.
I found that a little surprising.
Yeah,
I'm not disappointed. I just found it a little surprising.
I'm with you. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm not sure. I mean, I was expecting to see somebody. I was hoping to see somebody.
Yeah, me too.
Especially since one of the fake trailers out there showed Luke in old Jedi robes looking like Obi-Wan-ish. But no familiar faces in that.
That's no.
So shortly after its release, and this is when I can't stand the internets. The internets start complaining.
Oh God!
And what I've learned to do is just like on TV when news gets out of hand, I walk away from it. Sometimes you got to walk away from the internet.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I did. It was just the most asinine. I mean, first off, once again, racism bears its ugly head again.
Well, I think the first thing that start, at least the first thing I saw was the lightsaber thing.
You know what? I mean, what's your feelings on that?
I think my feeling is it was a cool effect.
Mm-hmm.
I really, beyond that, I don't have an opinion. It's a story, and people are it's not this, it's not practical, it's not that. I mean, who cares? It's a fucking, I don't know. It just seems stupid.
For me, with the lightsaber, it's, a lot of people, it seemed like, who were making comments are not familiar with swords in general.
Yes.
And the way I saw those two little lightsabers on the side was what's known as the tang or the guard of a sword. If you look at a standard sword, it's got that T shape.
Yes.
If you look at the lightsabers, they're just a straight stick.
Right.
This is what it reminded me of. So I'm thinking, in my mind, that's kind of like the tang of this lightsaber.
Yeah.
It's protecting the wielder's hands.
Yeah.
So I thought it was a cool effect. But then, of course, the memes ended up exploding and people making this into a friggin' Swiss Army knife.
Oh, my God. It was awful.
It got brutal. It really did. It was just like, really? Can we give it a shot first?
Yeah. And then shortly after, like you started to mention, then the whole thing about the Black Stormtrooper came up.
Oh, my God. I can't believe that. It was just like, okay. It disgusts me that we're still doing this.
2014, right? This is what this year is. Soon to be 2015.
2014. Yeah, it's soon to be 2015. Yeah, it's just, and we're still have a problem when it comes to race.
Yeah. And part of it that I didn't know about was I had just assumed that the stormtroopers throughout the original trilogy were still clones, but it turns out they're not. They're human. They're humans and they're recruits and shit like that.
Yeah.
And somebody on Facebook pointed that out. And whatever the case may be, even if they were still clones, it's a whole new trilogy. It's 30 years later. It doesn't matter. It's stupid.
It really is.
So Boyega put out I guess it was a tweet, and it was a classy tweet. in response to all this Black Stormtrooper crap. He says, thank you for all the love and support. The fan mail and fan art has added to my joy. Isn't it crazy that Star Wars is happening again? Blah, blah, blah. And he ends it with, to whom it may concern, get used to it. It's the truth, man. I'm glad that's how he acknowledged it.
It's just, it was disgusting that, we still have to revert to this.
I don't get it.
And then, the minor one is a lot of people are looking at their robot who just seems like, I'm sorry, R2-D2 is the comic relief.
Yeah.
And but all of a sudden people are calling him the Jar Jar Binks of the film. I'm like, oh my God, all they showed was a quick shot of him, just.
He was on there for a second, right? I mean, yeah. Barely a second.
I was just like, okay, it makes sense to me. It's, it looked entertaining. I still want to see it.
Yeah.
What is the problem?
I don't know. This is, like I said, this is when I walk away from the internet. It's just, it's dumb. To me, the internet ruins this kind of stuff. You know what else? On off a little bit of a tangent, but not too much. What else ruins it, the internet ruins stuff for me, is do you ever see those how the movie should have ended?
Yeah, I find them entertaining.
Do you? I don't like them.
Really?
Yeah, I find that they... I don't know. It's like all this other stuff. It's just too, I don't know, too nitpicky, I guess.
I don't know. It's just, at first I thought they were, but these days it's just like you watch it and it's just, you can just see they're just making a joke just to make a joke.
Yeah, I mean, I get it, but I don't know.
Yeah, I get your point. Don't get me wrong. It's just, I just see it, a little differently.
Yeah, it's cool. You're allowed to disagree this one time.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for your permission.
So, what else? Anything else about Star Wars?
I think what's really interesting is what's going to happen come Toy Fair.
Yeah, you think they're not showing anything for that, do you?
I think they will show some things, like stuff we've already seen. But they can't have a Toy Fair and not acknowledge it.
Do you think? Because it comes out... in December, a year, literally.
A year from year, but it's just...
Do you think they'll have, like, a secret room?
I think they're going to be very careful in what they show, obviously.
Yeah.
Everybody's got to sign off on it. For them not to show anything, Hasbro not to show anything would be a very foolish mistake.
Yeah.
They could probably show one or two things.
Huh.
They would probably show, like, I really think that they would probably show, like, what we've seen. We'll probably see the two vehicles, X-Wing and the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
We may see the main character, I'm sorry, his name.
John Boyega.
Yeah, thank you. I'm sorry, his name escapes me. We'll probably see a figure of him. Yes, I think, it's...
sort of like what they did for Age of Ultron a month or two ago when they released the image of Cap.
Yeah.
His uniform and Hulk.
Yeah.
And a couple other images.
Yeah, well, they did that, at that event before New York Comic Con. That was a big event. That's where they released it.
Right.
And they were really pushing for Star Wars, the Black Series line.
Yeah.
And the big hit was obviously the Emperor and the 6-inch figure.
Yeah.
So... it's going to be interesting to see what they have in store. I don't think we'll get a whole hell of a lot. Mm-hmm. I think they may hold off until San Diego. They got to show something. It would be foolish for them not to show anything.
And typically Hasbro does their own thing on Toy Fair, right? Like they're not really part of the main show, right?
They don't
have like their own night or something.
They have their own, oh my God, it's a day. It's a 5 to 6 hour event with presentations from all their toy lines, and some are more painful than others.
I was going to say that.
But they are completely off-site. And, Toy Fair is over at the Javits Center. They're all the way by 8th and 39th. So that's, it's a hole and a half to get back and forth from. That's where their showroom is.
Yeah.
They have a small booth that has some of the smatterings of what they're showing. But the big stuff is always at this. It's attached to the New York Times.
Yeah.
It's their showcase area, and they rent it out every year. It's going to also be interesting this year because they usually do it the day before, which is Saturday.
Right, and it starts on Saturday.
Yeah, this is the first year Toy Fair is starting on Saturday. So, you know, Hasbro is still committed to doing this. But, I mean, like myself, do I want to sit through all these presentations just to see something everyone else is seeing? Or do I want to go to the showroom? You know, one of my conflicts is Diamond on Sundays don't do anything with press.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like a lot of us, a lot of people work during on Monday.
Right.
So they want, you know, what would make more sense, having people coming in, you know, having buyers?
Yeah.
Or having numbnuts like us?
Right.
So, you know, they don't allow press on Sundays. So, you know, I'm not happy, but yeah. I get it.
Yeah, it is a business.
Right. So, you know, maybe seeing how it is on Saturday, you know, if I get a chance to go see Zach at the Diamond booth, I'd rather do that than sit through, you know, it's, my problem is, yeah, my thing is, it's like, it always feels like the Marvel stuff always gets the shaft.
Yeah.
I mean, it was pathetic last year when My Little Pony was part of this presentation, and it was longer than Marvel. It's, you know, and G.I. Joe is pretty much non-existent.
Yeah.
So it's just, I got to decide, you know, what I want to do. It's, you know, unfortunately, there's a lot of politics involved, so I got to figure this out.
Yeah. Do you think that Hasbro will definitely still do it on Saturday?
I was told they are.
Wow.
I was told by the Hasbro reps, you know, when I brought this up to I actually asked them at the pre-New York Comic Con, and they were like, it's on a what? So they had no clue either.
Yeah.
And then later on, they told me, nope, because it's a third-party PR firm. They checked with Hasbro. I'm like, nope, they're still committed to doing the Saturday thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's, I don't know what I'm going to do yet, so.
You got a month and a half. You got 2 months.
Yeah, but, you know, like I said, I'm really only interested in the Marvel stuff. Yeah. I really don't, you know, not into Transformers, you know, Star Wars, all good and well, but I'm not a collector.
Yeah.
I was never a G.I. Joe collector, but that line's pretty much dead. And them introducing My Little Pony before Marvel, I'm just like, really? Seriously?
Yeah. And considering this year, Marvel only did, like, really, 3-4 Legends lines.
Mm-hmm.
3 and then 1 exclusive line at Toys R Us.
Because, you know, lovely Disney and X-Men.
But, yeah.
You know, they got 2 movies coming out this year, next year, and I don't see an entire toy line for Ant-Man happening.
Yeah, I don't see it either.
I gotta be honest, I don't even think we're gonna get a Marvel Legends line for Ant-Man, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I can't see. I would agree with that.
I mean, I think the only exclusive toys that we're going to get is going to be Mini-Mates from Diamond. I don't even see a Diamond Select Ant-Man figure happening.
Now, see, I could see that. I was going to say that. I could see just Diamond Select doing an Ant-Man.
I just can't see him doing it. I don't see it being cost-effective. I could, you know, definitely the Mini-Mates.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope I'm wrong, but
I'll tell you, rather than them do an Ant-Man, rather than Hasbro do a Marvel Legends Ant-Man, I'd rather see them do another line of Guardians of the Galaxy and put some of the villains out.
How about some of the classic characters that I grew up with? That would be nice, too.
That as well.
I'm going to get me started on that one. But it's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah. Hey, did you see all that hubbub about Constantine?
Yes, I've been following it. I've been following it. And, you know,
save Constantine.
It's, yeah, save Constantine. It's, theoretically, they put Constantine in the death spot, and a lot of people argue with me that's still not considered a death spot, because, you know.
Wait, Friday at 10 o'clock is not the death spot?
Yeah.
It is. I don't care. It still is.
They're like, well, you know, people now record from DVR, but I'm like, yes, but they still take the majority of their ratings that they look at from live. Who's watching now?
Yeah.
They're able to tell who's recording, but that still is not as important as who's watching now.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line.
And listen, for me, but I don't think I'm the majority on this one. If I DVR something, I have a hard time going back and watching it. I'm much better if I'm sitting there watching it live. And Friday night at 10 o'clock is really why I haven't seen it, because it's just not a good time for me. So yeah, I do DVR, but I just, I don't, and this is where I definitely don't think I'm a majority. I go back and watch these things.
See,
I like just watch it live.
See, I have no life. So, we're home on a Friday night and I'm watching it, and I gotta be honest with you. I mean, I have theories as to, I don't think this is the right show for NBC.
Oh, I definitely agree with you. It's not the right network. So if Constantine was on CW, do you think it does better?
No, it's still not the right audience. CW is a younger audience. We're talking about an older. They would have to tween up Constantine, and nobody wants to see that.
So where are you going to put it?
I would have to say something like AMC or a cable network. It's not going to. I've been watching 10 years of Supernatural.
Okay.
And Constantine at times feels like Supernatural light.
Okay.
And it's...
Is that a bad thing?
It's not a good thing. I like Supernatural, but it's very anti-Christian. And any way you want to slice it, Constantine is kind of anti-Christian. I think that's one of the reasons why it's not doing well.
Okay.
At least that's my theory. They are also kind of holding back a lot. It's, you know, out of all the freaking DC properties to take.
Yeah.
Why in God's name would they choose Constantine for NBC?
Yeah, it is an odd choice.
It's like they wanted to be so far left from everybody else, but they went too far, and the only option would they have is this, it's either Swamp Thing or Constantine, and Swamp Thing would cost too much money.
And you brought up a good point a while ago, and I really wasn't, not that I didn't believe you, but I believe you said magic doesn't sell well.
No, it really, it's a hard sell sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, Grimm, and, you know, people have argued with me, Grimm's doing well, so it's Once Upon a Time. And I'm like, yes, but those are based on fairy tales. Those aren't based on
magic.
Yeah, it's not magic. It's not anti-Christian. Even though, if you want to get technical, you know, the Grimm fairy tales were kind of they're pro-Christian.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were pro-Christian. So it's, I mean, if you really, you know, technically, it's kind of an anti-Christian show, so that's not exactly helping their cause.
Yeah.
And, show star, Matt Ryan is trying to do this entire hashtag thing. I'm sorry, I think it's ridiculous.
That he started to save Constantine?
I just have a problem with all these,
hashtags?
Not hashtags, but just any of this nonsense on the internet about, these petitions and stuff, because I really don't think they do squat. I really feel that way.
It's interesting. I would agree with you, but why do you think that is?
I know
we're delving into territory that may be a little philosophical here.
I just think, it's too many people complaining. It's, not enough people doing.
Yeah. Okay. But I buy that.
At the same time, you got the showrunner, Daniel Cerone, saying, if there's a more simple solution, watch it.
Yeah. Watch the show.
Watch the show.
Yeah. Because it's not canceled yet.
No. He says, it's not canceled. He admits that, and I quote, we have the worst time slot, keep faith.
Yeah.
So he knows this is the death slot.
Yeah.
I mean, it's they got higher ratings than, Hannibal. It's climbing. It's doing a lot better than a lot of other shows. But it's just, it's doing as well as some of the other comic book shows out there. But
so let me ask you this. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm just going to end up rambling more about anti-Christian stuff, so go ahead.
So beyond moving it to another network.
Mm-hmm.
Cable or otherwise, do you make any other changes to the show? Do you think the show is good as it is? It's just on the wrong network.
I think the show is good as it is. I've heard people bitch and moan about the smoking thing.
I was just going to say, if you put them on cable, you can start smoking.
Yeah, it's just something about the cinematography of the show looks a little. I just feel like it should be a little darker. I feel every time even though I'm enjoying the show, I feel like they're holding back. Like they want to put it up a notch,
yeah,
but they can't.
I have two points. That's before you move on. To me, NBC shows have a sort of tone look to them. They have, I don't know if it's like a bright kind of, not to get technical here, but they have like a bright color palette. You know what I'm trying to say? Their show, when you put on an NBC show, to me, it looks, they all look a certain way, visually. And Constantine has that look about it, which...
I don't know, because you look at something like, if you compare it to the look of SVU.
Yeah.
SVU is a freaking lot darker.
And is that on NBC?
Yeah.
Huh.
And that deals with real-life monsters.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we're talking real-life crap going on.
Okay. All right, well, my other point was, do you feel it should be more Hellboy-ish?
What do you mean, like humorous?
No, more dealing with that kind of tone, you know.
I think it needs to be darker. I think it needs to be. Unfortunately, you've got to. This show needs to start looking at something like Walking Dead, because this man is. I, as much as I'm enjoying it, I don't feel he's a bastard.
Yeah.
As much as he is in the comics.
He's more like a scoundrel.
Yeah.
Than a dick.
Yeah. And you know that's Constantine. You know, this.
And he's a wanker in the comics.
Yeah, he really is. He'll backstab you in a second just to get shit done, but he does it, for the right reasons. But he's always trying to save his ass too. So
let me ask you something else. A couple years ago, well, probably more than a couple years ago now, the Keanu Reeves movie, is that based on Constantine?
Yeah.
It is based on this character.
It is based. There are elements that are in there. I mean, the shotgun thing was, that was something they made up.
I never saw that movie.
It's actually not bad.
I heard it's pretty good, actually.
Yeah, it is pretty good. Huh. I mean, he's got this holy shotgun thing, which is just a little ridiculous. But the rest of it is just like, he's more of a dick there. He's just, he's dying from cancer. It's just, the smoking was very nice, but it was just also shot very grimly.
Yeah.
It's just a much better production job.
I'll check it out someday.
But it's just, I don't want to see the show go, don't get me wrong.
No, well, hopefully, I guess NBC's sticking with, if they cancel it, somebody else can pick it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Well, the thing is, they don't own it either. It's, this is something that Warner's producing.
Right, so they could just shop it to another network.
Right. Like I said, it's just, at this point in time, I don't think it should be on I think it needs to be on a cable network.
Yeah.
I really do, or a Netflix thing. It's just they need to up it.
Darken it.
Yeah.
I agree with you, darken it.
Yeah, and just, the FU to, if you're offended by the show, then it's not a good show, I'm sorry. this is the show that's supposed to be offensive. He tricks the devil. He doesn't give a crap. It's just stopping. It's not canceled.
Right.
And there really hasn't been, it looks like they're giving them the all 13 episodes. But, I mean, here's one thing that didn't help. It started late. Like, this week's episode was the Halloween episode.
Yeah, it didn't start until, the end of October?
Yeah, and I mean, we're towards the, end of November, and we're showing the for the first time, the Halloween episode?
Yeah, that was kind of odd, too.
You missed it, so, why did NBC wait so long? To show this,
it's been a little mishandled.
It really has.
Let's keep our fingers crossed, and maybe it'll get picked up and rejuvenated.
I hope so.
Rejuvenated. We didn't talk about this last week, but Flash.
Oh wow.
I really dig this show, man. It is.
Yeah.
I know I said this a couple times. Disagree or not, I think it's better than Arrow.
Oh, God.
I like it better than Arrow. There, I said it.
Bastard. That's it. Show's over. We're done.
Yeah, we're done.
We're parting ways. See you later.
I didn't say that Gotham was better than Arrow. Which I would never do.
If you weren't a fan of him, he's got to be growing on you by now.
Who, Grant?
Yeah.
Oh, my. Yeah, he... It's funny because I remember when we talked about the pilot and we both liked it, and I was sort of like, yeah, he definitely has grown on me.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. And it's one of the reasons why you can't, I guess, come right out and just start, bitching about shit. You got to let things grow.
Right.
before you start complaining.
And this episode, first off, it was just a wow episode, but I think the big thing was the name drops by Wells.
Yeah.
Holy crap. And you know, I'm watching it live, and I rewound it about three times before I got all the names. So first off, they had mentioned Jake Davenport, who's a neighbor of Bruce Wayne. Mm-hmm. You know, he's just a neighbor, nothing big deal about him. But here we go. First off, Ralph Digby. For those who don't know, this is the elongated man who is, in comic history, is also considered like a brother to Barry Allen. So have him mention on Flash was just like, oh my God. Oh my God.
Yeah, it was cool.
It's like up there with mentioning Hal Jordan on Arrow. That's the brotherhood between these two characters.
Yeah.
So that was the first name. All right, so moving on down the list. Al Rothstein, otherwise known as Adam Smasher, or for those of you who remember, is Mohawk, Nucleon, followed by his pseudo-brother, Grant Emerson, also known as Damage.
Cool.
Will Everett, known as Amazing Man. He first appeared in the All-Star Squadron comics. He was the only black member, but then, you know, we're talking about the 40s, 50s.
Yeah.
And his power is to absorb anything he touches.
Yeah.
He's pretty much DC's version of the Absorbing Man.
Okay.
For all intents and purposes. B. DaCosta, which is Fire.
Okay.
Fiery Green Chick.
Yep.
Personally, never liked her, but. And then, of course, Ronnie Raymond.
Yep.
Firestorm. And, you know, there has been some information about Firestorm being leaked that when we first see him, he's kind of all messed up and stuff.
Yeah.
Really doesn't have a costume. It sounds like he's more in a containment suit.
What he's going to need is a containment suit. That's what he was originally.
And they also announced, you know, they also showed this week a picture of Martin Stein.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I was just going to say that. I'm glad you did. Good.
Yeah, and, oh my God, who's the actor?
What? I forget, too, but I'm glad you said that.
He's been in so much things, and I can't think of it. Oh, yeah, Victor Garber.
Right.
And, yeah, he was the captain on the Titanic. He was the father in Alias. He's one of these characters, actors you've seen in 50 million things. You look at him, and it's just like, oh, yeah, I know that guy.
Yeah, right. Character actor.
Yeah, character actor. So this is, I think that's a great choice, and I just can't wait to see how the two of them just
melt.
Yeah. But then also, they've also already, you know, named Jason Roche. So how the hell is all this going to work?
I don't know.
They announced he was Firestorm.
They did.
Yeah.
The producers announced he was going to be Firestorm.
Yeah, so
God, it's going to be awesome.
It's Amel going to go away and, you know, Roche takes over. So it's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah.
And so that is just, wow. And this episode in particular, Wells, what a prick.
Okay, wait a minute. So wait, before we move on about Wells,
mm-hmm.
have we discussed your theory on Wells?
No, but there is one thing I would like to say about this list of characters he named.
Oh, go ahead.
If you notice, and with an exception of Davenport,
yeah,
these are all heroes.
Yes. Interesting, right?
This is a man who's looking at time, who's a time traveler.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that the only names he dropped are all heroes.
Why is that? Do you have a theory?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
It's got to be something going on. It's obviously, I don't know if I'm reading into it too much. It's hard to say if, you know, it was just the producers just throwing him out, just throw him out, or if there's really something going on.
Well, because something's up with Wells.
Yes.
One of the things I read, somebody suggested, was that maybe he's a new god.
Yeah, I saw that.
You saw that. Do you want to talk about your theory, or are you backing off on your theory?
I'm not too sure anymore. I saw another theory where they say he's the adult Barry. Which I can't see that at all. Say what you will.
But you know what? That sort of, I don't want to say it could happen, but that's what they're doing in New 52. Barry's got a new costume. Adult Barry comes back. And I'm not really following the storyline too much because I don't like necessarily what they're doing. But Barry comes back from the future. So maybe, maybe. But yes, Wells was a dick, man.
Yeah, you really got to see his character. I mean, it's if you want to drop my theory, Wells is actually Grodd. I'm not too sure if that really holds water anymore, but we saw in the episode of Plastique, he did a mind fuck with Plastique.
Yeah.
So, and we know that Grodd has psychic powers.
Yeah.
So either Grodd was helping him, or Grodd's brain is in Wells' body.
And twice so far, at least that I know of, they showed, they made reference to Grodd and his cage. First episode, and then one of the recent episodes.
One of the recent episodes, they actually showed a gorilla.
Right.
Named Grodd, and he just seemed to be like a normal. I don't think they're going for the entire Gorilla City thing. That, I think that would be a little silly. So I think it's you know, it just happened to be a gorilla named Grodd who gets caught up in this wave of, you know, whatever it is.
And, right, whatever they're doing, right.
Yeah, and he becomes super intelligent with the mind powers. I think that's probably what we're going to see for Grodd. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, the entire Gorilla City in this setting would be very silly.
Yeah.
But there is definitely something going on with Wells, and the Zoom theory is really seeming more of a possibility, especially at the end when he takes that blood sample from the leech.
And did you catch one of the other theories about Zoom? That he is Iris's boyfriend?
Well, that's always... See, that's always because of the name. Edward Thawne is... Yeah. You know, in the comics, the first Professor Zoom, there's two Zooms. There's Professor Zoom,
right.
Future, and then there's Zoom.
Zoom.
Yeah, so Professor Zoom, the first one, real name is Echobod Thane.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of, when people first heard the last name Thane, and they used a mysterious, good-looking, you know, cop from, you know, no background, people were assuming, but it doesn't seem like this Thane is... Zoom, it more is seeming, I'm going with the theory that it's his ancestor.
Yeah.
I'm going with that theory that a lot of people are having, that Eddie Thane is the ancestor of Echobod Thane.
Okay.
That's the theory I'm going with.
Okay.
But it just does seem like Wells he's definitely got ulterior motives. I don't. You know, when they said the Flash didn't die, you know, I saw the new newspaper, and it didn't seem that grim. And I'm thinking, I'm like watching this like, okay, I failed to see the problem.
For me, it was a good episode. What I would have rather have seen, it be a two-parter. He got his powers back too quickly.
Yeah.
I think that should have been more, I don't know. To me, it should have been a cliffhanger. Even maybe a season cliffhanger. He's really getting into having the powers. He's using them, and they made this big deal. They showed all this behind-the-scenes stuff with Wells that they typically wait, you know, they show at the last seconds of the show.
Right.
They made a big deal about it. I wish they would have, you know, made it just a little bit longer. He got him back a little too quick. You know, and then it comes back where he's got to believe in himself, and it just seemed to me if it was maybe a two-hour episode, it would have been a little bit.
Yeah, it just...
It would have felt that.
You know, after, you know, giving Wells all this crap, then all of a sudden at the end he's just like, okay, I'll follow what you say again.
Yeah.
That was a little, I don't know, ridiculous to me. But I think overall it was a great episode, and Christ, what we got coming up this week.
Yeah, the two-parter.
Oh, my God. What I find really interesting is the two different names of the episodes.
Well, wait, there's two, the Brave and the Bold, and what's the other one?
No, it's just, Green Arrow is going for the name, the Brave and the Bold.
Okay.
Which, you know, okay, the comic, you know, great, you know, like we talked about before, just the history of that name.
Yeah.
But in The Flash, the episode is called Flash versus Arrow, and I'm like, really?
Really? That's interesting.
That's unoriginal. I'm just like, oh my God, Snoresville on the name.
Interesting.
I don't know. I'm being picky now. But that that episode, I saw somebody produce a article about the so-called Lois Lane complex going on. That's just like everybody knows the freaking identity except the girlfriend.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the truth, right?
Oh, my God. And now next week, it's just like the characters from Flash know who everybody at Arrow is. And hey, that's taking me off. Barry found out, fine. They figured out that Barry's a Flash, fine. I get that. Team Arrow, you know, knows that Barry's a Flash. I get that. Barry knows, you know, who the Arrow is.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. But does Team Flash really need to know all about Team Arrow?
No, I agree with you. I don't think they need to.
And I really feel...
And I don't think Ollie would be too happy about that either.
No. And I also feel that we're going to see in this episode, well, you know, the two of them have the classic, you know, two heroes fight.
Yeah.
I'm willing to put money on the fact that Wells manipulates that somehow.
Interesting.
I am willing to put money on that.
You know, we're coming to the end of the show, but I want to bring up another point about this topic. I think it was earlier in the week, somebody said absolutely no Superman and no Batman on this show, on either one of these shows.
It was a mandate, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And I'm puzzled by that because they've already said, and I'm hoping you could, I guess, shed some light on this.
Mm-hmm.
They've already said that the universes are separate. The movie universe and the TV universes are separate. And what I would like to see them do is have, that's fine with me, have a multiverse. That's what DC is. I love the multiverse. Let's have a multiverse. So if the universes are separate, why can they not have a version of Superman and a version of Batman on these shows?
I don't get it. And then there's also conflicting things. It's from the way I read it, it just seems like they don't want the mythos to cross. And I'm like, have you been watching Arrow? You know, Ra's al Ghul, Bloodhaven.
Exactly. Huntress.
Yeah, and now the producers of the Supergirl show are saying there's going to be a three-part crossover.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that.
I don't. Hey, I'm looking forward to that. You know, all three of them being part of the same. You know, somebody said they're on different networks. I'm like, yes, but first off, they're all produced by the same company. Second off, I've seen other times where shows produced by the same company are on different networks, and yet they still cross over.
They cross over.
Yeah, it's not the first time it's been done, but. How can you say there's no Superman if it's... Oh, my God.
Well, see, now that you mention that, we had talked about Supergirl a few episodes ago, mm-hmm. and I think we talked about how if they weren't going to have a Superman in that universe, there is no Superman.
Right.
And how that's the spin of this universe. So then maybe that makes sense if they're going to have this three-character, you know, story kind of universe... Then it sort of makes sense that there's no Superman in that universe, in that portion of the multiverse.
Well, you do realize what this crossover is.
What's that?
Like what Mark said when we had him on, you know, you have your Batman figure, Arrow. You have You have your Superman figure,
right.
Flash. Now you have your Wonder Woman figure. We are seeing the television trinity.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
And that is, you know, that's cool.
That's a trilogy, yeah.
I mean, I think that's a cool lineup for a trinity.
Yeah, that's not bad. I dig it.
I can definitely get behind that. But, you know, it's just like, what is with these stupid mandates all about?
I don't know. Now, Gotham is made by Warners, or is that something?
No, that's still everything. It's all Warner.
In essence, if they really wanted to, they could tie all four shows together.
Why would you?
Well, I'm not just saying why. I'm not saying they would, but if they're going to go by my multiverse theory, they could have a universe where Batman, all these other characters are older, and Batman's a kid. I'm not saying it's going to happen.
But then again, you know, let's tie in the fifth one then.
What's that one?
Huh? Constantine, yeah.
Okay, I don't have a problem with that.
And then we still have talk about, you know, the Teen Titans show that theoretically is supposed to be coming on.
Yeah, is that still happening?
I haven't heard anything. I haven't heard anything, neither yay nor yay, you know.
Yeah.
It might be in development, but again, it's just like, okay, here we have one of the biggest, the second biggest Batman mythos in a TV show.
Yeah.
I mean, they've already established that this is Nightwing who's going to be in the show. And it's not, you know, it's... You know, it is possible to do a Teen Titans show without Nightwing or Robin. You can do it.
Yeah.
A lot of us wouldn't be happy about it.
No.
But it is possible to do it and do it well. But there's your link right there to fucking Batman.
I don't know. Does it have to do with rights and ownerships?
No, they have all the rights. They have all the ownership, but it doesn't matter. Warner's not acting like, you know, Disney. You know, they're not acting like, you know, so-and-so has the, you know, rights, so we're not going to let them, you know, they right. don't care. They're just Warner's like, okay, yeah, we own everything.
And it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't.
To make mandates like that, again, unless we're not privy to inside information, so unless they are planning this TV universe not to have a Superman figure and Supergirl is going to come here instead of Superman, that's cool. I'm down with that.
Yeah, me too. I just don't...
I don't know.
It's like they're being so protective of this cinematic universe, and...
Yes.
I mean, yeah. I've given my feelings several times about how I feel about it.
Yeah.
And it's like they're just being very ultra protective about it.
It's weird.
And, you know, now with the rumors that the Wonder Woman film...
What's that?
They want to take the origin from the most complex yet awesome of the Brian, you know, the New 52 one.
They are going to use that one?
The rumor has it that's the
one. I thought they were going to.
That's what I heard. I heard they still were planning on using that one. And I read it. I loved it. But... I'm sorry, can we just keep it, you know, here's a kiss. Keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah, keep it simple, man.
Just take it, you know, do the smart thing. Take it from, keep the Greek elements and take it from George Perez's run, you know,
yeah.
Just the Baby of Clay, empowered by the gods. Boom, there we are.
I'm with you on that one. I'm totally with you on that one.
She wins the contest. She becomes Wonder Woman. Just keep this simple.
Yeah.
No, it's, you know, this is Snyder again. You know, let's complex it up the fuck. You know, it's... I'm just so tired of all this.
And with that, how about we wrap the show up?
That sounds good to me, or I'm just going to be going off for another hour about how much... complaints I have. It's, you know, this has been a slow, you know, we got...
Slow, it has been a slow news week.
Yeah, you know, Thanksgiving, you know, is... We got some real cool stuff, you know. Star Wars trailer just made up for everything, I thought.
Yeah, thank God for that, man.
Yeah, you know, some other news would have been nice, but, you know, it is what it is. Everybody's kind of winding down. But, you know, we'll see what happens.
What do you got going on this week?
My usual nonsense, you know, going on over at Caster's Corner, though it does seem lately every time. I do want to throw this out there because DC did ruin a good complaint piece I had, but in a good way. as I've been bitching several times on this show about, you know, DC not wanting to reprint the when they first gained Blue Beetle Ted Kord with Len Wein and Paris Calling on Art, they have finally announced that they're going to release that into one of their black and white showcase trade paperbacks.
Should have put that article out ahead of
time. I know. I dragged my feet, and this is what I get for it, but at the same time, it's a happy accident.
Yeah, it's coming out.
Yeah, so I'm glad it's coming out. So, you know, DC, thank you for that one. I appreciate it. You have now forgiven yourself for screwing with him all these years. Thank you. What about yourself?
I'm finishing up a new internet show, and you can be able to check that out on YFNJman.com.
Very cool.
I'm sure I'll have something on Casters this week, CastersCorner.com. And don't forget, you can check out us, me and Brian, at thefanboyfactor.com, along with all our old episodes.
Yes, we are there. And also, for On The Go, you can download us from either Stitcher or iTunes.
Yep.
Just search for Fanboy Factor, and you'll find us. So we're great to listen to more than once.
Yep.
We are that entertaining. Hey,
we are, Brian.
Yes, we are.
Brian. I guess I'll talk to you next week.
Yes, sir.
Take it easy, man.
You too.
All right, buddy.